You're listening to In the Open, a Mental Health America podcast, a space where we explore mental health and navigate the challenges of life through honest and candid conversation.
Hi, everybody. Welcome
to In the Open.
You're here with Teresa and America.
Hi, everyone.
And we have finished our I Can't Stop, I Can't series. And we are going to start the next part of our series, which is an I Can series. And it will take us all the way to the end of the year when we will finally say goodbye.
I like the transition. I think it's important.
And today we're going to talk about I Can Let Things Go.
Today what comes up around this idea of letting go, I can let go. There's two things for me. One is in the ability that right now I have the ability and capacity at this moment to be able to say, this is a thing that I can let go of and I should.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one. And then tied to that is there are just some things that are out of my control. And if I want to get better, I have to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
That felt good saying that. That's progress. You hear that progress?
I don't know if people know how hard this is. And if it's hard for you to do this, it's because it is. I can tell even after years of therapy that entering into this series is giving me anxiety.
It is really hard.
What is that about?
You know what I tie it to is this concept that we've talked about throughout the life of our series around being vulnerable. And this is one of those spaces where you have to be even more vulnerable to recognize what are the things that I'm speaking to myself, okay? So if this resonates with you all, please. What are the things that aren't serving you anymore that you're just holding on to? And when you really dig into it and try to unpack, and you're like, for what? For what purpose? What are you going to get out of that?
Yeah.
Just more thoughts? No.
I think that you're right. So in terms of vulnerability, to figure out what you need to let go, you need to know why you held on to something so tightly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's a bit of insight. And also to let things go and build insight, you also have to take an accounting about your wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you held on to something so tight caused you pain and may have caused other people pain. And I like what you said about it doesn't serve you anymore. And not only does it not serve you, maybe keeping on something so tightly also really hurt you and hurt other people.
Correct.
And that does make it hard. And then I was tapping into something even more primal before that, which is we talked about this around change. Like, I'm so comfortable being chaos.
Chaos, a naysayer. Yes. Got it.
Yeah, negative. And I would be afraid to let go of anger, for example.
Mm-hmm. So there's fear.
Yeah. Or I don't know. I don't know what the feeling is underneath.
I hear in your voice, though, there's trepidation. I hear that. I also hear discomfort. So the notion of being put into a place that is uncomfortable because it exists outside of what your norm is.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, I'm saying, let's go for it. Let's engage in that and see what comes out of that experience.
Okay. Let's go back to just not freaking going into our spiral of doom.
Okay.
You said first I have to start with, can I?
Mm-hmm.
Can I? Do I have the capacity to?
Yes.
Also, what are you letting go? Okay. Round robin. Actually, that's really hard because, okay, I'm going to give you two things. Like, I can let go a lot of things, but there are things that I probably want to let go that I know I can immediately tell you I can't let go of.
Okay.
Then there are things I feel like, okay, I feel safe now. I can let go. And maybe that says something about where I am in my healing process.
Well, so because the last few series that we've done, the episodes that we've done, really felt like personal attacks. It's given
for
me
you, yes. Started with me.
Yes. It's given me time to really think, right? Like the idea of needing to be right? Mm. That was something. So I've been thinking about it. How do I get into a place mentally where it's okay? sure, we can agree to disagree. Doesn't matter. You know, remember I was telling you about the, I think the reference that I used was like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And the reality is, in the realm of all the things that are happening in the world, in your day to day, how much mental energy do you want to put towards this thing?
Yeah.
So that's when I think about capacity.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to let that go. This need for me to say, well, no, actually, mm-hmm. actually, this is what I believe. I will reserve that for the things that are have much more meaning and impact in my life.
Yeah.
That's a decision that I'm making, that I am letting go of that.
I really appreciate the framework you started with, like, why, how did this serve you before and how is it not serving you anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a pretty consistent experience between where we started with mine in the series with, you know, a lot of whatever fear, internalized fear, to even your side, a different kind of fear, kind of control. So I think you can't let go until you process that question. How does what you have serve you and how is it no longer serving you?
When I find myself in these thought patterns of needing to be right, the control, you know, the ease of the day when things are in their place and their order, it feels good to be in those spaces because they're comfortable to me, right? But one of the things we've talked about is when they butt up against relationships and other people, which we're surrounded by, then it influences then how your ease and comfort will maybe be impacted throughout the day. So when I talk about this, I really want to focus in on the discomfort that I feel going into knowing that I'm making the decision. This thing that's out of place, don't let it veer you away from this path of calm. It's not a big deal. And that takes practice. This is today me. Yeah. Tomorrow me could look different.
Did you figure out why you needed order yet?
No. Not like the two sentence answer, no.
Like, when was your life so chaotic that order helped you the most?
I think it ties to my immigrant experience.
Okay.
Because.
Tell me more.
When I was little and I was like six when I came to the U.S., I didn't make that decision, right? My parents made that decision for me. And I lived it all. I was, you know, present. But at six, seven, all the way through my teen years, I was just reacting to the environment that I was placed in. And that environment and the feedback that I received showed me, oh, look, you picked up English so quickly. That's a good thing. Positive. You know, I got all this positive feedback with it's not a bad thing, but it did influence my need to then be able to step up and show up at every single thing. Like, here, this is great. For me to get to that place, I had to have order.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. From chaos.
Yes.
I mean, the biggest chaos being ripped from your home life. And
yeah.
Six is old enough to know.
Right. Like, there's a difference here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't remember tons. So I think it was traumatic. Right?
Mm.
My parents were with me. My brother was with me, but my parents, they weren't around. I didn't have the same like family, large extended family unit that I had when I was in Bolivia. So I think it made a difference.
Yeah.
So I tie it to that. And I've thought about doing kind of like regressive therapy, but then I'm like, nah, leave it in that box.
I feel that a lot, you know. There's two ways you can let go. You can just lock it up in the box and never address it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can open the box slowly, work through your stuff, and let it go for reals.
Yeah.
And I think the latter, what we are used to, you and I, is putting it in the box and not looking at our real stuff.
Yeah.
But truly being able to let go.
Yeah.
That unpacking it for real.
A while ago, I can't remember who. I don't know if it was my current therapist or the previous one that basically had said that idea that you just shared, like whether you leave it in the box, right, or you unpack it.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, leaving it in the box is the most safe thing that they can do for their current well-being.
Yeah.
And they have to make that decision, right? Yeah. Then the other side of it, it is really important to unpack, but capacity and ability is really important there. Because if you unpack and you're not supported in that process,
yeah,
it can be not a good thing.
So I have a really interesting example, and this is like a real moment of vulnerability. I'm going to try not to cry.
Okay.
This is it, like literally living this right now at freaking in my 40s. But, you know, I've told people that I'm a survivor of childhood abuse. And one of the things that happens when you tell somebody like, hey, somebody sexually abused you, is that your family asks you like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
Like they want the details. And that always freaking was so hard for me. I felt so many strong feelings about it throughout my whole life because this all started when I was like 8, you know?
Yeah.
And I realized that there was so much meaning into what it meant to answer that question that it stopped me from being able to not have that question itself have power over my recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So
it
like,
does.
And I couldn't let go. Like I couldn't let go both to just answer that question for a lot of different reasons and also had to really wrestle recently with like, basically, why can't you answer that question?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people would ask it and I would immediately shut down and I couldn't answer the question. And that led to a whole cascading of continuation of problems because I was kind of like, I couldn't share. I realize now I couldn't share because it takes so much emotional labor to just relive what you try your whole life to forget.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of it. But then there's this other voice in my head that says, even if I tell you the whole truth by asking me that question, you're already telling me there's a ranking of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like you're going to judge what I have to say. And if I don't give you the right answer, you're going to decide there are some kinds of abuse that you might respond to and some kinds of abuse that you won't.
Right. Like whether they dismiss it or actually believe it and do something with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like my body was just like, nope, abort. And I honestly, I've never been able to just say the words literally until this last Sunday.
Wow. So what changed?
And I'm still reeling
Sunday?
From it. Honestly, like I knew I was going to have a conversation with somebody. And in the past, I just wouldn't even, I didn't even, wasn't aware of it. But I spent the whole week having PTSD dreams. Like I had, you know, we just talked about stress dreams. I think maybe because that was super on my mind. But I had like hardcore PTSD dreams that I just was on the ride for. And then I was driving in my car prepping to go to this dang meeting. And I noticed that my brain was literally walking through and planning. Mm-hmm. And I had to be like, oh my God, that's what I'm so anxious about. I'm like literally planning for this conversation and that specific question like that I was going to get, which is what happened to you? And I realized that for my whole life since my disclosure process, that that question was the one I feared the most. And I had to like spend this whole time unpacking everything that it meant so that I can just let that one piece of the brick in my recovery process like wiggle out a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. But in the work that you do with trauma survivors, being able to vocalize not only the abuse or the name of the person or whatever, providing details of that. In some way, right, there are some folks in the camp of mental health that believe by doing that, you're exposing yourself and reducing the power that the words have.
Oh, I've done this in therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is why I'm alive. But I think it's something else to think about the way our vulnerability with people in our lives is different, you know, like.
I mean, it's all tied together. For me, when you're describing it and me knowing your journey, right, and having had so many discussions around this during the podcast, it's this idea of you being able to, in many ways, not have this function as one of your little monsters, that is on your corner. That's just like, oh yeah, you thought all these good things. No way. Suck it. It's going to go in this direction. And that, and it's tied to all these experiences, right?
Letting go of this and healing for reals takes so much effort, because underneath every decision for why you make a choice to say something, to do something different, beneath that are three other very large questions, like, is this person going to reject me? Is saying this out loud make it real? I don't know what's going to happen if I say it. I don't even know. I don't even know what I anticipated, what was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of experiences in, that are our biggest fears, I think that's a big part of the hard work. That's the
totally.
Most difficult.
The layers that are required to get you to a place of being able to let go. It's not just a decision. Okay, I'm not going to let this thing bother me anymore. I had this moment yesterday. You know, one of the things my therapist talks about is the question, so what if that doesn't happen, right? Because logic is my superpower, right? What if that thing doesn't happen? And it's like, well, I don't know. And it's like, no, answer the question. Like, what happens? So what I found myself doing yesterday, there was a moment in conversation with someone and their response was like so routine. And my routine response would have been like, well, why? Let's talk about this thing. Let's do this now. You know, let's figure this out. Let's find a solution. We can fix it. And then I said, well, if you don't want to talk about it and have a real conversation about it, well, let it be. And when you're ready, you can come and have a conversation. And I walked away feeling like, oh my God, did I just do that? What happened? Like, because it was so, so different. And I said, wait, you applied a tool that you've been learning about. Okay. And I had to really wrestle with this feeling of discomfort, because I could have gone back and be like, no, forget what I said. We need to talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
But I stuck with it, and I lived with the thoughts of like, well, the conversation could have done this way. And this morning, I felt that I was going to think again about it, right? Like, well, why would they say that? And it's like, nope, nope, stop it. Don't do it. And so I like turned that part of my brain off and I said, focus on something else. And that's where I said, that's you letting go. Like, you can't control that.
Yeah. I mean, it really comes to the point where the other, like, I really appreciate what you're saying, because there's a part of us that can spiral indefinitely. And then, because basically we're talking about like letting go means we're not going to let ourselves be compelled to do what we don't want to do, which is to beat ourselves up, to say something, be right. I appreciate you saying like, to let go, I have to let myself sit in an uncomfortableness and learn to be uncomfortable long enough that my body comes down. Because you're right, you can't even think straight.
Right.
Until your body is calm. Like, I've been on survival mode since I just talked about what happened. Like, I haven't even calmed down yet.
Right. Because it was to be able to.
Yeah. To really even to understand or accept. I move forward. I make choices, but I'm not like, I haven't let anything go.
Right. You're functioning.
Surviving.
Yes. Yes.
That's
the word. You're surviving, which is your normal operation mode.
Yeah. And so were you able to, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I didn't bring it back up.
Are you okay?
I don't know. I might shut down. Like, the computer's broken. Like, restart. I mean, I'm okay. Like, I understood what I was doing. And in that moment, I really said, you've set a boundary. Respect your boundary. You respect your boundary. You want other people to respect your boundaries? You respect your boundary. And I said, okay. I really, it was really hard for me to do that. But hey, that it really is uncomfortable. And to your point of like, you're even still living it, right? And it's like fully present for you still. That's something that's hard for me too, right? Allowing time to do what it does, just create space.
Yeah, I'm not processing this the way that I know is healthy. Like I'm spinning, you know? I'm like repeating stories and narratives and what ifs.
Right.
In my brain, and that's gonna not let me, even though I made the right choice and a brave choice to set a boundary or like choose to disclose or share what people want, you know, I'm not like fully, I'm spinning. Okay.
So what are you gonna do?
I don't know. Go back to therapy.
Yes, and
this is when we first started this conversation. The thing that I said in my brain that was the hardest thing for me to let go is anxiety and fear, because that fear keeps me safe. Mm-hmm. And this is like the whole freaking through line for the last 4 years with you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I'm ready to let go of fear because it keeps me safe.
So in this example, though, that you've given.
But that is a big thing.
I know.
So like, I have been brave and I am making progress. So I have to ask myself, okay, well, what does letting go of fear look like today? Mm-hmm. And maybe that was like, okay, I'm going to put my foot out and be able to like talk out loud about things that have happened to me.
Right. Where,
you know,
and I that is amazing that you're saying that, because that's where I was going. Like,
yeah,
in this big, humongous thing of this overwhelming rock that's being carried on your shoulders, you've broken it down into these little pieces that,
yeah,
on Sunday, you did this amazing thing. You said, yeah, the words. So in some way, you did let go a little bit of your fear.
I let it go a little. I got to give myself credit.
Yes.
Okay, that's really important. So letting go requires celebrating success.
Yes. An acknowledgement on your part. Totally.
Yeah. But there was like so much happening. So I was like, okay, in our conversation, I was kind of stuck on, oh my gosh, I'm still spiraling, you know, like, am I going to let myself go retreat again? And you're like, no, the answer is no. Like, you made progress where you are.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it.
As people, I don't think we give ourselves enough credit. And that, I think, is so normalized that when you do, people are like, oh my God. So in this example, you do, like, baby, you deserve one of them gold stars. Okay. That's a great big thing that you've done.
Don't make me cry.
It's really important.
And it's true.
Don't let it go. Don't, that aspect of that celebration, that this is something, yeah, that I've done for myself, is really important.
You know, you're really right, because I already was starting to try to dismiss it and be like, well, I did do that, but look at how all I'm still doing the dumb things. So you're right. Thank you for calling me out. It's true. Okay.
But we were talking a while back around like how some people journal. I don't journal. I know you don't journal. But for folks that journal or have a place where they mark an accomplishment, that's, yeah, an accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
to let myself sit with that,
yes,
and accept it is part of letting go. Yeah.
Yeah.
You too.
Totally. I told you, man, I'm so happy. I deserve a gold star.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You are better at that. And that's a strength that you have that I can learn from.
I'm a work in progress.
We, yes, all are.
Yes, we are. Yes, and let me tell you, yes, and I always talk about these gold stars. I literally do not have a place in my house right now that has gold stars, but I think I'm just might be inclined to go and buy me some gold stars this weekend and be like, fabulous, bam, you did this. Because for me, that's important. It helps me to remember, look, of all the crappy things that happened this month, look at the 5 stars you got. 5 stars. You know, something.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe one of the challenges with human beings truly recovering and letting go is that we're so bad at celebrating when we have success.
Yeah.
Because even as you talk about it first, we don't even have the physical locations like stars because we just basically give that up by the third grade. Mm-hmm. We think it's juvenile. But then I think something even conniving happens as adults where we think that giving you that makes you big-headed or right. weak.
Yes.
What the hell does that come from? It's why we're so perpetually stuck.
And disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From ourselves and our needs.
Yes.
What's your takeaway? What do you remember the most?
My takeaway is I am going to focus on letting go more frequently. Like, how do I do that daily? Is this a thing that I can do? Be like, no, not important. Let it be.
Letting go of that control. So your takeaway, it sounds like you're saying, I want to make it a habit.
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
I want to figure out how to make it a habit by doing it regularly.
Yes. Thank you, Teresa.
Okay, I can't even remember all the things I processed because my immediate dissociative brain was like, you said things out loud, but you're not going to remember anything you said. But I do remember you telling me to sit with giving myself the gold star for just taking the little action that I could.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to really – I think I need to think about that a lot, like how not giving myself credit has – gotten in the way of me letting things go in the long term.
Yeah, that and just accept the gold star.
Yeah, and accept it.
Because your brain wants to do what you're saying. Like, let me think about how this has also influenced every single action that I've taken in my life. Nope. Just accept the gold star. It's a fabulous thing.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, folks.
All right. We're going to talk to y'all next week. Keep fighting in the open, everyone.